In this episode, Matt and I continue our series with Dr. Suzanne Ebert of the ADA Practice Transitions Team. We are specifically diving into detail about what it looks like to integrate into a dental practice. You are listening to The Smart Dental Student, your source for information regarding dental school and your professional journey, with your hosts, Matt Manley and Landon Guy.
So how would you integrate into an office?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that's something that a lot of people don't really think about. You think about when you're looking for a job, gosh, I just want to find the right job. I just want to get the most money. I just want to pay back my student loans. You know, that's the only thing really on your mind. But I think on both ends, on the side of the associate coming into the practice and the side of the owner who's in, going to have an associate come into the practice, you know, there are some things that you really should think about a little bit as you're making this transition happen. So it's not something that happens overnight. You've got to start a couple of months out. So as soon as you know what office you're going to be going into, there are certain things that you guys need to come to an agreement on. Things like credentialing. Does the office accept some third-party payers? How are you going to manage that? What is your role in that? What is the office's role in that? What about doing a chart review? We've talked a lot about this before. You need to understand what happens when you walk into a practice. You need to understand what the treatment looks like that's being delivered in the practice. But have you actually sat down and talked about treatment that's in progress? You know, how are we going to handle this? How about if, you know, the owner is in mid-treatment and they're going to hand this case off to you? You need to know going into it, because what is your ultimate goal? A stress-free first day. You're going to be stressed enough walking into that practice. Trust me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are about, you know, six different things that you really should look at very carefully and make sure that you and the owner are on the same page, because ultimately the goal is, again, I keep coming back to it. All you want to do is walk into that practice. You want to be able to walk into the operatory and feel confident that you can treat that patient and you are capable of delivering the treatment. Now, so that's really the goal of the integration plan.
And that's, you know, kind of speaking in the sense that you've already kind of gone through the process with the ADA practice transitions team. So now, granted, if you're not doing ADAP, you're doing this on your own, and, you know, good luck. But if you are doing this through the ADA practice transitions team, you've already kind of met the practice that you like. You've already kind of gone through this relationship building. You've kind of already identified that your philosophy aligns with the other doctor's philosophy. And so this, like what you're talking about, and even though this is kind of a new, feature of the offering that ADAPT has, is this is integrated into that whole process, that this is stuff that you guys kind of, you know, hey, don't forget to do this kind of thing as you're going along.
That's actually what I love about our service overall, because yes, you identified all of the preparation. You know, you've identified everything that we have to do to get you to a great contract and a great situation. And now we add in that final piece, which is, okay, we know that we're in the right practice. We know that this is going to be a good fit. We know what we're going to expect when we walk in. But now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of, how am I going to work here? Mm-hmm. And I think this is really important, not only for the associate, it's for the owners.
Yeah.
So many are having their very first associate join the practice. This is the first time they've had to experience this. They don't really know sometimes what all the steps that are involved. And this just gives that little bit of clarity. You know, here are your six things. Here's your final six things. Let's make sure that you guys are on the same page and that you have this whole plan, this whole customized plan that's just for you about how are we going to work. Maybe even not long-term, but we're talking about that first day, that first week, that first month. Let's make this successful right off the bat, because you know as well as I do, when something works out really well on day one, you can pretty much promise that it's going to continue to work out well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to hop in here now. And kind of in light of that, like you had mentioned, like that providers can sometimes have difficulty with this too. But what would you say are the most common problems you hear of or have witnessed firsthand and from the perspective of a provider, and then also the perspective of that associate joining the practice?
The biggest one on the provider, the owner's standpoint, is probably that sometimes my owners are hesitant to give up their current patients to a new associate. Often these patients have been coming to them for years and years and years. They feel like they don't have the ability to hand that patient off to the new associate, even when they desperately need to, because they're so busy. So for that instance, and we can usually troubleshoot this from the start, we try to make sure that we identify this as a potential problem, and we give the owner, and even more importantly, the staff, kind of a script. This is how we are going to talk about this transition. This is how we're going to get our patients to accept going to another dentist. And, you know, by providing those scripts, it really encourages that doctor to start thinking ahead. Okay, now I know what to say to make sure to go see Dr. Matt or Dr. Landon. You know, I think that is probably the biggest drawback with the owners. From the associate side, the problem generally revolves around just, and they're not comfortable within the office itself. They've not come in and they've not been able to work in the space. So, and this is especially important for new grads. It's not quite as big a deal when you've got an associate who's been out for a little while. Yeah. But a lot of our associates come in and they just are so used to, this is what I had at school. This is,
yeah.
Have you heard that as well?
Well, yeah, that's actually a lot of what we're hearing is, and I don't think this is going to apply much to Landon, because he's going to be doing almost like a quasi residency in his fourth year. What we're hearing a lot of is go get a GPR, go get an AGD out of dental school so that you've got kind of your feet up under you when you start practicing, is what we're hearing a lot of, especially because of COVID. There's just been a lot of universities kind of been gummed up by the process. So I think dental students, particularly graduating who either started in 2020 or started 2 or 3 years earlier than 2020, are still kind of feeling the repercussions of COVID.
Yeah, that is definitely what we're hearing. Again, it's the kind of that inability to get in and start working right away, and just not being very comfortable with a lot of the procedures that you're going to be expected to do in a private or any kind of practice. It doesn't matter what kind of practice that you go into. You're going to be expected to do certain things, and you're going to be expected to do them in a certain time period. So we are seeing that. The problem is, of course, there just aren't that many AGD and GPR positions to go around. So that becomes a little bit of a challenge. And that's where, again, this open communication, the ability for the owners and the new associate, even if it's a fresh grad, to have an exquisite understanding of how are we going to make this work? Mm-hmm. You know, what kinds of procedures am I going to be able to give to you right off the bat? And, you know, what am I going to pay you? Because I know what you need to make, you know, and how are we going to make this happen? And I keep coming back to this, and you know what? I'm going to say it again. Go to a practice if you're looking, you know, if you look a little outside the city, you're going to get exposure to a lot of different procedures. You're going to do that. You can treat some of these associateships as a mini residency in some of the practice opportunities that are available outside perhaps your preferred area. Look for the right opportunity and then see if you can live with the location. So I'm going to say it again.
I heard someone say it, and you may have heard this too, that dentistry is the most blue collar, white collar profession, in the sense that you're getting a lot out of,
I think I said that.
No, Landon's not smart enough to say that. that is something that you have to get the practice of, you know, observing someone else doing it yourself, getting that experience. Like you said, you kind of stretch outside of your more urban areas, and you become essentially the only show in town. So you have to be more knowledgeable of how to take things, how to run with them, and do them well. I mean, obviously you refer out when you need to, but kind of knowing more, getting faster. And also as someone who is an owner or has been running their practice for a while, you kind of have the opportunity to take that associate or that that person that you hired under your wing to kind of say, hey, you know, here's how I found this works best. And you almost get like a journeyman type feel out of it.
Yes. And I will say that when you have to think on your feet and you really have to consider all the different angles on a treatment plan, or you've got a situation where, you know what, you just have to figure it out. I mean, a lot of times it's a lot of thinking on your feet. I will never forget the guy who walked into my my clinic one time, and he had an obturator attached to a partial that was completely falling apart. I mean, this thing was falling out. It was awful. But he needed this obturator in order to eat and drink. It was broken. Couldn't keep it in. He walks into the clinic, and I just looked at this and I'm going, okay, well, obviously, you know, we're going to take an impression. We're going to send this thing to the lab. We're going to make them, you know, fix it real quick. Well, guess what? Lab can't do that when in the setting that I was in. So I'm back there with my, you know, base plate material, with some impression material, creating a plug essentially out of what I had, so that he could have that, so that he could function until we could get this thing back from the lab. And then we could make him a new denture. But I mean, I had students with me, and they're kind of, everybody's looking at it going, well, we don't know what to do. I said, well, you know what?
Cover this in removable dentures.
Did not cover this particular situation. So, you know, thinking on your feet and understanding that, you know, not everything that walks in the door is going to be textbook, and it's okay. And it's awesome when you come up with those creative solutions. And it just so happened that I got a text from one of my, that was about 9 years ago, I think. And apparently he just came back after 9 years. And I guess a tooth had fallen off of the denture that I had made for him way back when.
Wow.
And he was just like, you know, so grateful that we were able to do that for him. He was like, I didn't know what I was going to do. I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink. I mean, it's 98 degrees down here. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to drink water. Yeah. So yeah, creative dentistry is actually a whole lot of fun.
That's awesome. And I imagine you see a lot of that more in your rural areas, whereas, you know, kind of, I mean, you'll see it in the urban areas. It's just, there's a lot more density of providers in your urban areas. So, you know, that kind of gets peppered around, as opposed to you being kind of the central funnel, where a lot of that comes through.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's just fun. I enjoy that kind of thing.
What have you noticed? I know Landon asked about problems on the provider side. How about on the kind of the newbie? Any issues you've seen there, other than kind of like lack of experience, I guess?
You know, it's also understanding how to work with staff. Mm. You know, so often, you know, you go into a practice, and especially, I know some dental students have really never held down a job before. So there's a, there's a learning curve, I think, sometimes with understanding how to manage a staff, how to manage other people, how to walk in and kind of be in control of the operatory. Because I hate to say, sometimes we all know it's fake it till you make it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you cannot walk into the operatory and present a uncertain, unconfident demeanor. Mm-hmm. So just understanding how to speak with staff, how to work with staff, how to present yourself to the patients. I think that's, again, something that often needs a little bit of coaching on. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, and this is what I keep coming back to, if you identify these things early, or you identify, okay, this is how we're going to handle this particular staff person, you know, let's face it, every owner knows who the problem staff person is in their office. You know who it is. You're going to figure it out. You know, don't wait until this poor person, this poor new dentist comes into the office and now all of a sudden everything kind of explodes. Let's not do that. You know, let's troubleshoot. Let's make sure that things are working out pretty well beforehand.
So to kind of angle this toward a dental student now, you mentioned some problems with those individuals who are coming in directly to practice as an associate. How would you encourage people like Matt and me now to be able to practice those skills that can better help us transition into practice?
Every time you walk in that operatory, every time you're dealing with a patient of yours, you need to project confidence. That's number one. Number two is talk to whatever staff people you have there. Most dental schools will have at least a certain number of assistants that are dedicated to the, you know, to the students. Talk with them. Find out what they appreciate, what they don't appreciate. Make sure that you're taking ownership of everything that you are doing. And when I say that, I mean, if a, I'm trying to think of a specific scenario. If you've done a procedure on a patient and you're just kind of uncertain, okay, well, I'm not sure exactly how that went, but don't just let that patient go. Mm-hmm. I mean, call them that night.
Yeah.
Ask them. Follow up. How are you feeling? Take a post-op x-ray. Understand your own capabilities. Understand what you are, what your current skill set is. Know what great dentistry should look like. You can always aspire to that. That will give you the confidence that when you are actually providing the care, that you can do it. Mm. I think when I was in dental school, I had one doctor. He was a salty old dentist. You know,
we've never encountered that.
No, I'm sure you haven't. Present company accepted, of course. Yeah. He said, you will know how to do, you'll know what great dentistry looks like when you graduate. You will know what it looks like on an x-ray. You'll know what it looks like clinically. He said, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do it for about 5 years. At least that's when you'll figure out what kind of dentist you're really going to be. Mm. And you know what? In some respects, he was dead right. But the key is for you right now, for, you know, the best advice I can give dental students is when you know what you're striving for and you know that you can do it, that will give you the confidence to go into that room and take ownership of everything that's going on. So take ownership of the process, take ownership of the patients, take ownership of your treatment plans. Don't compromise your values. All of those things are going to give you that confidence. And what that will do, that will be projected to the patients, to the staff, and to the owner. And you can't fail them. If you're taking ownership of everything that you're doing, you can't fail.
That's really good.
That when you were talking, it reminded me of, you know, when I was in the military, well, when I was in the Marines in particular, they have you read, you have to read books to get promoted kind of thing. And so they had this commandant's reading list. And on that reading list, there's just a ton of, you know, good leadership books, you know, how to win friends and influence people, how to, you know, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So all of those, we actually put together a reading list on our website, where students can go, or anyone, providers, anyone who kind of would like to enhance their leadership toolbox, to go there, look up those titles. I am terrible at reading, so I get the audiobooks and I just like plow through the audiobooks while I'm driving or whatever. Another thing you said reminded me of a book called Will It Fly by Pat Flynn. And he says, the riches are in the niches, but the fortune is in the follow-up. And it's not necessarily monetary, but it's also relational. And like what you were saying is when you follow up with that patient, it just, oh my gosh, like if a doctor follows up with me, oh man, like I'm going to be going to that doctor until they leave or I leave or one of us dies. Like that's generally the way it is, at least for me. And I honestly, I don't know how many doctors I've ever had follow up with me. And I'm getting old, so I go see a lot of doctors now.
I will say my doctor does still follow up with me, and I followed up with every single person that we got them. If we had to anesthetize them, we followed up that night. Yeah. And it wasn't, I didn't necessarily have to make those calls. It was the front desk. And that actually was a practice builder on many fronts, because my front desk found out that we very rarely had problems because they were the ones who were talking to the patients. How much more confidence does that give your front desk person to be able to say, oh my gosh, yeah, Dr. Landon's amazing. We never get complaints when I do my follow-up calls. He's perfect. You know, I mean,
Dr. Matt, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Dr. Matt, on the other hand. Watch out for that one. We got a little struggled a little bit, but you know, we'll cut him a little slack.
Still on the struggle bus.
Well, Matt, you know, you were kind of dominating the conversation, so I had to get Landon involved. You know?
Yeah, there
That's
we go.
What I do. So, yeah, I mean, all of these things are just so vital to making sure that when you walk into a practice, it's a success for everybody. And that's, again, what we're trying to do so hard. It's why I developed this whole idea of an integration plan to put into our service. You know, the one thing that I feel like a lot of employment brokers and practice brokers kind of, and even, you know, the lawyers and the accountants and the financers, everybody talks about getting to the signing of the paperwork.
Sure. Well,
that's and when they have paid. To. Exactly. Exactly. And that makes perfect sense, because that's the important thing. And that's what everybody's focused in on. Yeah. What we need to do is do a better job, you know, as an industry and the ADA overall, is let's show something to our members that they desperately need. Let's give them the tools that they need to be able to walk in and really be successful, not just having the paperwork signed.
Yeah. You're looking for positive outcomes.
Long-term positive outcomes. Absolutely. And that's what we're finding. You know, we already know now that our idea of, you know, philosophy of care matches. It works. It works. We've got testimonials all over the place. I just did a testimonial up in Maine with our doctors that were our very first associate match straight out of school. She ended up buying the practice a year later. I mean, we did a testimonial video there. They've done been on a number of ADA news stories, things like that. So it works, and it works so well, but this is kind of that final piece. Mm. And
kind of land the plane.
Yeah. We've talked about it a lot, but now it's time for us to bring this one home. So this is all a part of, it's a new part of the service that we're offering. It's only been, you know, it was conceptualized, I believe, on this show 3 months ago. When we were talking about this, and I said, gosh, we really need to do a better job of that. We need to have something concrete, you know, that we can point to. So now we have an integration plan ebook that's now a free download for us. on adapracticetransitions.com. And it kind of goes through all those six steps that, you know, you need to pay attention to. You need to pay attention to, you know, the credentialing, like I said. What about the chart review? What about the staff issues? What about how are we going to introduce each other to the patients? Well, how are we going to introduce each other to the community? And then really important, especially on the student side, is that whole mentoring aspect. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it beforehand. We've had these conversations before because we've talked about it in high level terms, but let's talk about the nitty gritty, meaning what is our cadence of communication going to be between the owner and the new associate in the office? Are we going to meet every day? Are we going to meet every week? Are we going to, you know, how are we going to actually communicate when we're talking on the ground so that the expectation is set beforehand?
How would you go about, and I don't know, this might span a few of our episodes, but what kind of advice would you give to associates or, you know, recent grads or, you know, getting ready to graduate dental school who already kind of have an idea of what practice they want to go to? Either it's a family dentist they've been working with for a while, or it's their one of their parents and they're like, hey, I want to go back and just join that practice. What kind of advice do you have in those scenarios? Because we've heard horror stories and we've heard success stories. So
that's exactly right. And you know what? I would say you go through the process like you're looking at it from a brand new practice standpoint, like it's a practice that you've never encountered before. What I mean by that is do the same type of evaluation that you would do if you've never seen this practice. Create the integration plan the same as if you didn't know this practice beforehand. There's no change in how you set the expectations and how you come into that practice just because you know them, or just because, even more important, if it's a parent or a family member, that can get a little tricky because sometimes the staff might have a different expectation of you as somebody new coming in because they've watched you grow up potentially. Mm-hmm. So there's that. There's the, you know, parent-child dynamic that needs to be thought about. And if you go through all the steps like we outline in our, we've got so much information on adapracticetransitions.com. We've got things to help you understand, you know, how do you evaluate? How do you integrate? Go through the process. And that's from both from the owner and from the associate standpoint. Go through the entire process. Make sure that you have a contract in place. Make sure that you talked about the evaluation and that you've done it very well. Do your due diligence. Go through the integration plan. That contract might sit in a drawer somewhere. You may never look at it again. But if you use things like the toolkit that we have, or even just our eBooks that walk you through the key elements of it, you'll be fine. Create the contract, sign it, throw it in a drawer. Hopefully you'll never need it because you guys are totally on the same page. But if you're not, mm-hmm. it's something to go back to. So you've got to have the conversations ahead of time.
Yeah. And what we'll try to do for our listeners is we'll have a link specifically to the book that you referenced. But we're also looking to probably do like a blog post that would have a lot more detailed, you know, to kind of direct traffic to the different resources that the ADA Practice Transitions teams has. Because I think that would be something really useful for folks. Because I know for me, like, I didn't really appreciate how much information was out there because I just kind of expected people to spoon feed me, you know, information. And I don't know if that's a, if that's an indictment toward, our educational system, or if that's an indictment toward myself or both. But it's like, you know, you get this idea that, well, the world's just going to tell me what I need to know. And it's like, no, actually there's a lot of really good information out there, but you have to go digging for it sometimes.
Well, that's why we try to put it all in one place. Mm-hmm. Our information is searchable. on our site. Go to the blog and then you can hit the search button and you can kind of look up the certain keywords. Make sure that you do your due diligence, anything that you find online too. There's a lot of great information out there. And then there's a lot that you kind of need to sift through it. And yeah, I don't know if that's an indictment on you or an indictment on the educational system. I'm sorry. I can't answer that question for you.
I appreciate not giving him positive affirmation. That's the most important thing that I took from this entire conversation is that you didn't give him positive affirmation. That gives me so much joy. Just
don't make eye contact.
You guys crack me up. I love you too.
You have been listening to The Smart Dental Student. The views, information, and opinions expressed during this recording are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent the organizations that the individuals are affiliated with. If you enjoyed the content of this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at Smart Dental Student or visit our website for more information at smartdentalstudent.com.